Thanks for coming out tonight, guys. Just to give you a quick kind of rundown of what it's going to look like. After we get done here, we're going to go outside for a little bit, play a little kickball. And then, those of you that have on pretty clothes, sorry about that. You can find a job, you have to run around that much. But after that, we'll come back in and cool down. You guys spoke, and we have delivered with Jenny and Jared. They're going to be back with the espresso frappuccino bar. So, heck yeah. So they got that going again. And at that time, when we come back in, we'll have some desserts. We'll kind of calm down, and then we can kind of see what we do from there. We can either have some free time, we can start some movies, or we could just eat some dessert and then get ready to play like some indoor games, like where we turn off the lights and do some sneaking and stuff like that. So, but that's pretty much it. Later on tonight, for those of you guys that have to leave, I know several of you guys have to leave at like 12 for stuff you got to do tomorrow and everything like that. We'll kind of let you guys dig out, and then we'll kind of talk about those of you that want to sleep where you can do that, and the rest of you guys that just want to go ahead and turn it into an all-nighter, what we can do and what the options are. So we'll do that. We'll have a word of prayer, and then I'm really excited to hear two guys that put together devotions for you guys. You haven't heard from them yet. This is their maiden voyage with devotions in the youth group, so I'm looking forward to hearing from them. But we'll sing two songs this time, and then we'll have another guy come up, and before he comes, we'll sing two more songs. So we'll just do this to kind of get some of that garlic breath out into the air, or whatever we got on our tongues right now. So let's pray, and then we'll get rolling, guys. Heavenly Father, thanks for the meal you just gave us, Lord. And now I pray that you would just satisfy us, Lord, with something spiritual, God, and just feed that eternal being that's inside of us, Lord. And I thank you for the guys that had enough courage to step up and want to share what you've put on their heart and what you've done within this past year. I just look forward to that, reaching us, Lord, and you just speaking to us. And let's just continue this night of fellowship together. We pray and ask all these things in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's do, let's start with 292. 292. Truly goodness and mercy. All right, here we go.
A pilgrim was I and a wandering. In the cold night of sin I did roam. Then Jesus, a kind shepherd, found me. And now I am on my way home. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. He restoreth my soul when I'm weary. He giveth me strength day by day. He leads me beside the still waters. He guards me each step of the way. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. When I walk through the dark, lonesome valley, my Savior will walk with me there and safely his great hand will lead me to the mansions he's gone to prepare. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
All right, what's one more we can sing?
268.
268. All right. The loudest shout out wins here. All right. Opposite of a school, I guess. Here we go. How firm a foundation.
How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he hath said, to you have fled. Fear not, I am with thee, O be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to sin. Upheld by my righteous omnipotent hand, when through the deep waters I call thee to go, the rivers of woe shall not thee overflow. For I will be with thee, thy troubles to bless, and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee, I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. The soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never,
no, never forsake.
All right. Logan, can you pray for us? And then Zeke, I want you to come up and give you what you got, man.
Dear Lord, Father in heaven, thank you for this day. Thank you for everything you've done for us. Thank you for this time that we can spend together and just hear your word. And Lord, I just pray that you keep us all safe throughout the rest of the night, and give the people getting up to give devotion the words to say, and show us what you want us to have. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Well, I'll be talking about my testimony today, and yeah. So, basically, I've just gone to the church my whole life, and like I never had like the right attitude towards God and like learning for God, and like it wasn't just like right for me. I hated going to church. It was boring. I didn't like it. I always complained to my parents. I didn't ever want to go. Then, most of you know Colton. I started playing baseball, then I tried out for this one team, and Colton was on it, and I finally got to meet Colton. He was probably like the nicest kid I've ever met.
What?
He was just like happy and just loved life all the time. Then I found out he was a Christian, and he was saved, like just like I was. So we had something in common. We became friends, and I've always struggled with like attitude and stuff towards like baseball, and like didn't do a good job with that. But Colton, if he got out, if he struck out, he was fine. He was happy. He didn't complain. He just never had that mentality of just getting mad over something he did wrong, because we're all human, so we all make mistakes. But when like one day he left the team for reasons, I guess. I don't really know why, but whatever. Then same next year, I left the team, and one day my dad was talking to his dad, and we went over to his house, and my dad was talking baseball just to his dad, and my mom was talking to his mom about church, just like about Bob and how truthful he is, and he just speaks the truth, and that she was inviting us to go to church. We all thought it was fun. But I went to Colton like a week or two to the Sunday, and I thought it was fun, a blast, because all the people, they just loved each other. It was just like one big happy family. And I thought it was great when I heard Bob, because he was just truthful. He had the passion of just like loving the Bible and just loving God. And that's what I needed in my life. And the last couple years, I've been really working on my attitude towards baseball and everything, And I haven't had an attitude on baseball, I think, in a year, year and a half. I thought I've done pretty well with that. Colton's helped me out a bunch with that. Because he's just a good kid. He just loved the word, and he just shared that with me. And I just, like, soaked it all up. Because I thought it was the greatest thing, and I just needed it in my life. And basically, I have, like, an example for you. Say, all of us are the sponge in the church. And the discipleship and the ministry is like the soap and water. But if you just keep the sponge and you don't use it for anything, it's worthless. You have to squeeze the sponge out and just share your knowledge to everybody about God and see if they will soak it up and just, if, like, just give them a chance just to listen and to, like, I don't even know how to say it. Like, just learn from, like, what you know. Like, we invited Dalton tonight. He's a kid on our baseball team. We're giving him a chance with God and just see if he'll soak anything up and see if he'll come, just like I did. And if you don't squeeze the sponge, to say, or whatever, you're never going to get anywhere with, like, sharing to, like, your friends or anything. And they're never going to, like, you can't ever share your knowledge with anyone. And if you don't do that, nobody's going to, like, nobody else will grow. You know, you'll just be a sponge that doesn't want to, I don't know, get squeezed or whatever. And you'll just, like, basically, you'll just be sitting there and you're just worthless. You're not sharing anything to anyone. You're not doing anything. You're not sharing to your friends what you know about God and to be a testimony to them. We play baseball. Baseball's kind of like a ministry because there's all sorts of people around. There's your teammates, there's your parents, there's your coaches. There's all these different people that you can share the Lord to. And one of my friends, I was having this conversation today before we played a game. He asked me, he goes, "Zeke, why are you friends with all of us and you're just so different with all your religions and the way you act and you don't cuss?" And I was like, I'm just trying to be a good testimony and see what God's done in my life, and I'm just trying to share it to you, and hopefully that you'll just grab on and just not do what you do. Basically, that's what I said. And there's another one. He was like, "So you're Christian?" I was like, "Yeah." And he goes, "So you guys can't cuss?" I was like, "Well, you can cuss, but it's a sin." He goes, "Well, if you cuss, then you're going to go to hell." I was like, I don't know, maybe, probably. And we have this one kid on our team. His name is Liam. He is the funniest kid, but he talks the, I'm not even going to say what it is, but he talks like the nastiest stuff in the world. And we were just joking around. We were like, "Oh, he's probably going to hell." But I was like, "Well, he's 15, so he has time to turn around and soak up everything that the Lord has done in my life, that Colton shared with me, and hopefully me and Colton can basically share with all our teammates and our coaches what the Lord has done in our life and just be a testimony and an example on the baseball field and off the baseball field. Basically, just don't be a wasteless sponge and try to be squeezed out every once in a while so all your friends can just get as much knowledge as you know in their life about the Lord. That, I don't know, just give them a chance. That's all I have.
Good job, brother.
Yeah. Zeke, you probably felt like that wasn't great, but you pretty much summed up, like, exactly what the Christian life is all about, why God saved us and didn't ask us to go be monks in a monastery, why he saved us and didn't take us back to heaven immediately to have fellowship with him forever, is so that the rest of the world could see a different example from what they're taught from the media, from from their other friends and family that don't have God and stuff like that. The world needs to see, what does life look like when somebody lives in the same places that I live, go through the same tough things that I go through, are faced with the same diverse situations in life that I'm faced with, but yet they handle it differently. They have a different outcome. That's that thing that Bob's always talking about, how Christians should witness all the time and sometimes even use words. The testimony that Colton had in your life wasn't vocal. You know, I haven't heard Colton talk for 15 years now. I've known you for 15 years. No, but you know what I mean? You can pick up what's different about him just because, like you said, his attitude when it comes to adversity and stuff like that. Same thing that you're passing on to your friends and the same thing I want all you guys to do. That is the greatest example you guys can do in school. You don't have to go around each morning you walk into school with a new sermon prepared to preach. You know what I mean? But you're going to find out that the greatest sermons you do preach are your daily steps and what you do and don't do in your actions. And never forget that. That's huge, man. That is why the Bible said a child is known by his doings, not his sayings. You know, when old people get up there and they've got some wisdom, some experience, we listen to them, they sit us down, they tell us what's going on. A young person does the biggest speaking with his actions. You got the energy, you got the ability to get up and move around. If you're going to be present in all these different things, make sure that what they're saying is a freaking sermon out of your life. You know, showing them what Jesus Christ looks like. What would Jesus Christ look like? What would the Bible look like if it had a body to walk around in, basically? You know what I mean? That's exactly what you're doing. That's the testimony that God wants from you guys. So that was perfect, man. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. And make sure you guys are not fat, wet sponges. They are one step away from fat, wet diapers. Okay, so good stuff. Let's stand up. Let's sing two more.
272.
I heard 488 first, so we gotta see that one first. 488.
Wait, 488.
Oh, wrong one. Sorry.
Yeah.
What? 448?
Oh yeah, it is 448.
448. Sorry. I knew I had a 4 and an 8 in there. 448. He ran to me. All right, here we go. There's a sweet and blessed story of the Christ who came from glory just to rescue me from sin and misery. He in loving kindness sought me and from sin and shame has bought me. Hallelujah, Jesus ransomed me. Hallelujah, what a Savior who can take the poor lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay and set him free. I will ever tell the story, shouting, glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, Jesus ransomed me. From the depth of sin and sadness to the heights of joy and gladness, Jesus lifted me in mercy full and free. With his precious blood he bought me, when I knew him not he sought me. And in love divine he ransomed me. Hallelujah, what a Savior who can take a poor lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay and set him free. I will ever tell the story, shouting, glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, Jesus ransomed me. By and by, with joy increasing and with gratitude unceasing, lifted up to be with Christ eternally. I will join the host they're singing in the anthem ever ringing to the King of Love who ransomed me. Hallelujah, what a Savior who can take a poor lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay and set him free. I will ever tell the story, shouting, glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, Jesus ransomed me.
272.
All right, 272. The solid rock. Here we go.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking. darkness veils his lovely face. I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Hey, so those of you that were in youth group last night, you heard those good old chants we listened to, right? If I fold up. Can you guys see the difference between what we're singing right now and what they were singing back then? Isn't that nuts, man? Just the spirit of the Lord when it gets into something. I was just thinking about that while we're singing this one. All right, here we go. Verse 3.
His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, even is all I hope and say. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Let's do one for old time's sake. 44, and can it be that I should gain? We'll end with this one.
44.
Here we go.
And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood, dying for me who caused his pain, for me who him to death pursued? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? He left his Father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace, emptied himself of all but love, and led for Adam's helpless race. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? No condemnation now I dread, I am my Lord's and he is mine. Alive in him, my living head, I'm clothed in righteousness divine. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die?
Amazing love!
Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die?
Amazing love!
Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me?
All right, guys, good singing. Jared, can you pray for Jared? And then Jared, come on up.
Wait.
Oh, not Jared, sorry. Dylan. Jared, pray for Dylan, then Dylan will come up. This Jared back here.
Yes, this year. Sorry, guys.
Dale, I thank you again so much for this day and just this opportunity to spend some time and take an evening that would probably otherwise be useless, Lord, but just spend it thinking about you and about your things. And Lord, I pray you just bless this time with us tonight. Have our hearts open for what you've got for us, and just give Dylan the words to say. In your name, amen.
Amen.
Woo!
Little guy from Texas.
That Dylan!
Thank you.
Oh my gosh!
All right, guys. So yeah, I got this devotion right now. I just really just kind of like want to share with you guys just some of the things God's been doing in my life and just showing me. I just hope you guys can take something from it. So I have this verse that was given to me by somebody really awesome, Charles Stevenson. You guys know him. Great guy. Yeah, we were just talking about my devotion, just kind of like what I wanted to talk about. And he gave me this verse, and most of y'all probably know it. It's Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. And when I heard this verse, it was brought up to me again, it really just kind of like made me think about the last couple years of my life, and even just the transition over the last couple months of where I've been at, and what God's shown me. And I just kind of want to give you guys some background. I know most all you guys, pretty much all you guys, yeah. I came to camp here 3 years ago and ended up getting saved. So that was pretty awesome. And, you know, it was always great being here with you guys and just, you know, seeing what you guys have, the amazing church you have that I now get to have with you guys. There was a lot of struggles that I went through, you know, going back home to Texas and being in the world by myself, you know, just didn't really have anyone. Any solid foundation to have, you know, somebody kind of have my back, you know. And I just want to talk about the things that I put my trust in and my faith in and the things that where my understanding got me. And, you know, we all do that. You know, we're at a point where we're graduating. Young kids are moving up to youth group. We're getting older. We're making new friends. We're reaching out to different people. Maybe, like, moving to other friends in schools, you know. Other relationships are getting not as strong as they were, but there's going to be a point in our life with all of us where we go up with some difficult things in life, and you know, where we put our trust in and what we stand on is really going to be that defining moment or point. And most of my life, you know, I was always leaning on my own understanding and, you know, thinking about what I'm going to do, how I'm going to do things. And I put my trust in other things, whether it was, you know, money, friends, relationships, people, materials, you know, things that just weren't going to last. And God definitely quickly showed me what that had for me. And it was a big fat nothing, you know. It got me nowhere. You know, so being in Texas, you know, I was living in the world, you know. I was doing what I wanted to do, hanging out with the wrong people, being places I shouldn't have been, hanging out with people I shouldn't have been, doing things I had no business doing. And, you know, having a pattern like that, you know, when you continue to live for that, you know, and just keeping in mind, knowing what I had, you know, in the Lord, know what Jesus Christ had did for me, and, you know, just wasn't doing anything with it. I was living for myself. You know, I had this amazing gift from God, my salvation, you know. You know, somebody who gave it all to me, you know, and who am I to think, you know what, I'm going to give it to myself, and I'm going to trust myself when somebody died on a cross for me and gave me a second chance to live, you know. Just so stupid of me. But, you know, we're all human. Like Zeke was saying, we're going to make mistakes. We're all imperfect. Yeah, just living a life like that, you know, living for myself and not, you know, living for God after what he had done for me and me knowing what he'd done for me, everything just kind of fell apart. My relationship with my mom and my brother and my family, it just kind of like, it just broke down. There wasn't really much, you know. My relationship with my friends, family, the closest people to me just kind of like went down the drain. And also I just got to a point where I wasn't happy with myself. And I dealt with that, you know. I guess I was upset or sad with life and I just wasn't satisfied where I was. And it got me into a place where I just wasn't happy at all. And, you know, there's many nights that I had to myself, you know, to think about, like, looking at, you know, my whole life, or just even those last couple of years after getting saved and knowing what is over here and what God has given me. That's when it really just set in for me, like, dang, dude, you're like, what are you doing, bro? Like, you're screwing up. Like, do you not see what you're doing to yourself? You know, and it just made me think, you know, God gave me my salvation. He gave me another chance to see him. God did not intend for me to be living my life that way. He doesn't intend for any of us to do that, you know. God gave us this book, this Bible, this amazing thing that will lay out your life and show you how to deal with things in your life. And like I said, you know, just many nights just to myself, just thinking, you know, that's when things really just kind of like started to set in for me. And I just knew, I was like, you know, I got to do something different. This just is not working out. I just want to share with you real fast, you know, before I actually ended up coming here, after I had finished out high school, I was planning, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I knew I didn't want to go back to school. I didn't want to work at a fast food restaurant for the rest of my life. And I didn't want to have anything that held me into a high of a standard, so I actually thought about going into the Navy. And at the time, Dejon is discipling me, and he was discipling me. And, you know, it was something I had talked to him about. But even before the idea of the Navy, I think it was like a year before that, I'd always talked about, you know, Kansas City was always an option for me, you know. But obviously, like I said, I wasn't doing anything right, you know. And that was just kind of for me in the moment of the cards. But getting to such low of a point, you know, in this last year, you know, before coming up here, a lot of stuff happened with me and my life and my family, and it just got me probably to the lowest point I've ever been in my life, and I'd never, ever want to be there again. It was just terrible, and I don't want any of you guys to be there again, or not again, but, you know, you get what I'm saying. I don't want anybody to be there, you know. Again, God didn't intend for us to live life like that or be like that. So I was talking to Dejon, and I knew that I had to stop, like, again, like this verse says, I need to stop leaning on myself and putting all the weight on myself and trying to do things my way, you know, because just like the hymn we were saying, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. And that is so true. You guys, like I said, we're getting older, and we're going to want to do things our way, you know. And, you know, it might work for a little bit, but God is going to show you fast, like he showed me, it's not going to work out for you. It might for a little bit. But no, in the long run, you know, God's not going to let that happen, you know, especially if you're in that family already, you know. And I'm just so thankful that, you know, I have all you guys and just the people around me. Get back to Dejon real fast. Like, he got the idea of me moving down here, and I knew that what we have here. I know that we have a Bible-believing church, an amazing pastor who's going to lay this Bible in and out better than anyone that I think I could ever even think of. You know, I've never heard the Bible preached this way with all the truth it has. It's broken down so simply, but oh my gosh, it tears me up. So I knew that I needed to make a change. I knew I needed to come here. So that's what I did. And then, so I made the choice in my head, okay, I'm coming to Missouri. And now we're planning it. So think of me in my shoes. I'm just finishing high school. I went to an alternative school, so they don't really make you do much. So I, you know, skin of my teeth, I got there. But all you gotta imagine, you know, 18 years old, you know, my mom just left. I'm living with my sister. What am I gonna do, dude? Like, you're making an adult decision to move states, leave your family. You know, what are you gonna do? You need a house. You need a job. You need to have your car. All these questions were raising in my head. And then, you know, that was just kind of at a point where I just had to take a step back and say, you know what, Dylan, dude, you're done. Stop. You don't need to be worrying about this. And, you know, I just had to give it to God. I had to let God take control of it and say, you know what, I'm not going to touch these hands on this situation, because me, seeing where I got myself, it's not going to be good. Everybody put their, it's not going to be good. Put your seatbelt on, you know. And that's exactly what God did, you know. It was really hard, though, because I think it was the night before Zach came in to pick me up. I was with my sister, Haley, and me and my family, we are very, very close. Very close. Uncomfortably kind of so, you know. but, you know, and I had probably my closest friend. This kid is my brother. And we were all hanging out. It was the night before, and it was really late. And then of all the nights, you know, she started talking about, like, why do you want to do this, Dylan? You know, where are you going? Do you want to, she asked me, she's like, you know, you don't have to join this cult now. And I was like, I'm going to join it now, you know, whatever. And, you know, she's making me question myself, you know. And, you know, it for hours we're just in there talking. I'm just like, you know, like, I'm sorry, I love you, my family and everything, but I'm tired of doing the things I've been doing and that you want me to do. Because you know what, dude, man's way is what is getting us straight to hell in the first place, you know. So I remember just leaving my sister's house, and I was sorry, you know, she's bawling her eyes out, and that's just so hard for me, because I've never been the person to turn on my sisters and say no. And, you know, I just remember getting in my car and driving home and just, like, almost crying, just like, God, you know, please, I'm, like, I'm freaking out right now, you need to help me, Lord, please, you know, whatever will you have for me, do it, God. I'm with you, I'm going to trust you, Lord. And, you know, next thing you know, I'm getting here, and I have an awesome house with awesome roommates. You know, I get here, I'm not expecting to have any. I'm like, you know, I got some jeans in my bag and a pillow. Like, I'll sleep all right. And I get there, you know, I got a bed set up for me. I got a brand new TV, nice and, you know, I got the hookup, you know, free Wi-Fi, you know. And then I have a job, you know, probably with one of the greatest guys I've ever known in my life, Charles Stevenson. One of the greatest guys I've ever met in my life. I learn from him every day, and it's just a blessing, the fact that I get to work with somebody who is just a living testimony to me, and I can learn from every day. And I have an awesome job where most people have to go to school for, and I'm getting paid pretty good money for my age, and, you know, I'm not having any worries financially. So, like, you know, trusting in God and just, I want to go back to the second part of this verse, sorry. And all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. That is so true, you guys. You know, for me, leaving Texas and all I knew and everything I wanted in my old life, all the fun stuff I wanted to do to, you know, come up here and learn the word of God, and just trusting in that, you know, God's going to take care of me, you know. This is what God wants for us, you guys. You know, he wants us to be in this Bible and be living sacrifices for him and to reach out to all these other people that don't have what we have. And God's going to prosper that over anything, any day. You know, you can believe that, you know. God's doing it for me. And the fact that I just have you guys as my friends, and, you know, you guys are like my family now. You guys are just some of the most amazing people that I've ever met in my life. And, you know, just the fact to have you is just such a blessing. And that just shows you right there, man, put your faith in God and nothing else besides this book, you know, because everything else in this world is going to go to nothing. Mm-hmm. It's not anything, you know, money, friends, all the fun party nights, you know, they amount to nothing. They're not going to last. This book has lasted for thousands of years, and it will continue to. You know, and this book has shown me how to live my life. And you know what? Since then, since I've been in this book and with you guys, I've been happy. Amen. My relationships with my family and my brother and my mom, they're prospering. They're getting better. And God's giving me opportunities to, you know, witness in their life. You know, they're not, you know, just keeping a door open for me. Yeah, you know, and, you know, this is just such an awesome verse. You know, whether you're trusting, you know, after you're getting saved, trusting in God with all the little things, or whether, you know, you're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ with your life, you know, God's going to have you prosper. And, yeah, it's just something that, you know, God's been showing me, man. You know, after just being here these last few months and seeing all the things that God's doing for me, I don't ever want to go back. There's no reason to. I'd be a fool if I do that, you know. I just want to also tell you guys, you know, you guys are just so awesome to me. You know, you guys have just been so welcoming and loving to me. And I just thank you for that. Just want to read something just to kind of like prove a point. It's in Luke. It's Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 24. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into the far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of the country, and he sent him into the fields to feed a swine. And he went, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, His father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servant, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoe on his feet and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For my son was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. You know, this is just like really awesome, you guys. God is going to do this for all of us. There's going to be times in our life where we stray, but you know what? Let this solid rock, let it be your Bible. Let the Bible be your solid rock and stand on nothing but that, guys, because this Bible is not going to let you down. There's not ever a day this Bible is going to be wrong. So, yeah, you know, we're getting older, you guys. So, you know, build that foundation and stand in it. Don't stray away, you know, please, because, like, I've done it, and it's not fun at all. You know, you're going to get nowhere. But, yeah. That's what I have for you guys, so thank you. Bro, you walk like an old man.
Hey, there's nothing to capitalize with on that. He covered it all. Just one more testimony of someone that's got to live through all the stuff that we try to preach to you guys about. No, it's really okay. I know you're in church. You might think it's dull. You might think coming to Thursday night Bible study is dull and there's other things to do. The world really has nothing for you. All they want to do is chew you up and spit you out. The story of Samson, you know, sin wants to bind you, grind you, and blind you, or you know the outline or anything like that. So that's what the devil wants to do to you, what the world wants to do to you. They want to destroy you. They know that your soul is saved. You're going to heaven. So the only thing that they can do now is trust that you'll screw up your testimony and then send other people to hell and then get nothing out of this life. So, Dylan, thank you so much for being a living once again. This dude, you know, he never preached anything before that, but he got to live through a sermon right there, you know, and now he's a living proof and witness of that. So if we had a trophy case, you'd be in there, man, under that verse, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. So, guys, let's go ahead and pray. After this, we'll go outside. We'll play kickball for a little bit. And then Jenny and Jared, you guys can probably just stay back and get your stuff. I'm sorry, guys. No recess today. So but stay back. Yeah, no, get your stuff set up. And then come get me when you guys feel like you're at a point where we're ready to do that. And we'll get everything else set up. And we'll come back in and have some refreshments. So, Lord, thank you so much, God, for just in spite of the church age that we live in, God, you're still working in our lives. And I thank you for that. You said even in Laodicea, Lord, where we were poor, wretched, miserable, blind, and naked, Lord, if any man, when you came to the door of our heart and knocked, if any man opened unto you, you would come in and sup with us and us with you, Lord. And I thank you for that, God. No matter how desperate or destitute the times are, you said you'd always open up that door to have spiritual fellowship with us, and I thank you. I thank you for the testimonies that we're given tonight, these young Christian trophies, Lord, that you've polished up and put before us, God, to remind us that you're still God. And I pray and ask that, Lord, they wouldn't let this thing be the height of their lives, Lord, in their Christianity. I pray that it would just be the stepping stone into a great journey that you've got for them, God. And just help whatever these guys have gone through now only to be the beginning. And, Lord, I pray that they wouldn't look back at this and think it was something great, Lord, but just something insignificant. And you just got so much more for them. And I pray and ask, Lord, that all their friends and their pupils, Lord, that are around them would just take heed to their example, God, and listen to what they said tonight. And just make sure that they apply that to their lives. Well, we love you and we thank you and pray and ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We're going to play Across the Street, guys. I'll get a set up. There you go. Yeah, I'm glad you recorded that, man. It's good stuff.